The 96 on City Talk 105.9.
My name is Phil Thompson. I joined Liverpool Football Club when I was 15 years old. I soon realised that it was more than just a club. It was an extended family. Fans, players, club officials, we all experienced the highs and the lows together. On the 15th of April, 1989, the Liverpool family suffered a tragedy beyond belief. 96 lives were lost at an FA Cup semi-final match at Hillsborough. As the team took to the pitch that day, I was with Kenny Dalglish's management team in the dugout. This is our story. Hillsborough, through the eyes of John Aldrich, Ronnie Whelan, Bruce Grobler, Alan Hansen, John Barnes and myself. It was a beautiful day. Absolutely beautiful. Fluffy white clouds and everything, and quite exciting, quite warm with the sun coming through the windows on the coach. So it's with my wife and the rest of the wives and the rest of the players and everything, hoping as we were then, because it was a quite wonderful team that was playing. I think everybody was extremely proud of them, and we'd gone there full of hope.
The tensions were high, you know. The anxiety was there. You want just the game to get started. So we got up in the morning, and you know it's as it was the year before, because the preparations were very, very similar. Same hotel, same regime, same food, you know, same walk before the game. And it's just about focusing on the day ahead and doing the job against, which was a good Nottingham Forest team at the time.
We were confident. We were playing very, very good football. We were playing a great passing and moving with players like John Barnes and Stevie Nicol and Ronnie Whelan, Gary Gillespie. And we thought that it was our chance to go through.
Well, it's an FA Cup semi-final. That was all. Obviously, we didn't know how the day would unfold in terms of thinking about anything else. Not at all. It was just an FA Cup semi-final. We recognised that Everton were in the other semi-final, and it was going to be, it could have been, an all Merseyside affair. Secondly, the fact that it was Nottingham Forest, and there was a little bit of animosity between ourselves and Forest at that particular time. They're one of the top teams, and you know, so we knew it was going to be a difficult match. We knew it was going to be a bit of a needle going on, but like anything else, it's an FA Cup semi-final, and that's all we're focused on.
We've done all things right, tried to do everything right as a football club. We'd had some good people there, Peter Robinson and Sir John Smith and everything at the helm. And they always believed we are the best, we shall have the best. And that is the way they always perceived us. It was damaged, tarnished a little bit in a way for what had happened at Heysel in 1985. But as good and as big as Liverpool Football Club was, it went on and it continued to be the best. And everybody looking up, we were always the yardstick. So it was incredible that day.
Well, coming to the ground, we parked outside the main entrance. We walked through, and it was just generally, we're going out to go and test the field. You know, Kenny tells us, all right, go out and see what the pitch is like. So we go out and, you know, to see what the pitch was like. And we noticed then at the beginning that Forest fans were in the cop area, that big area that they've got at Hillsborough, and our fans were the opposite end. And even at that early stage, the middle section was open and the other two sections were not. And we thought nothing of it. Maybe, you know, they'll fill up later. But as you walked around, you noticed nobody went in. There's only a couple of people in the corner flag areas.
I didn't notice anything untoward whatsoever. You run on the pitch in Clapton, but this is what, 25 minutes before kickoff. So they're not all going to be there. You don't expect them all to be there. So there was nothing untoward happening for us. We were just doing our warm up, doing the things we had to do to get ourselves ready for the game at hand.
You know, you just took it all in. It was another journey. And we'd had all the moaning and everything about not having the big end at Hillsborough, where the Nottingham Forest fans were going to be, but it was flagged up that they'd come from the south and we'd come from the west, and so that was the way it was always flagged up. couldn't understand it because of our vast superior attendances. It just didn't stack up. And that, for all what unfolded there, probably had a lot to do with it. But we'd been there before, and people had said, going to Hillsborough, this could have happened before. The police hadn't learnt a lesson.
Liverpool, you know, preparations were always meticulous, and everything was the same. You know, if nothing was wrong, you know, it doesn't need fixing. And it was exactly the same as the year before. Warm-up was all right, you know. Then you get out for the kick-off. You know, there was a real buzz in the stadium, you know, and it was just kind of stadium that, you know, generated a decent atmosphere as well, and, you know, you could hear our fans' favour.
It never leaves you with what happened on the day and, you know, where were you, and I've already explained that I was sitting in that dugout. But this thing, I suppose I've always been like that. I've always noticed the crowd, probably more than a lot of scouts do that, because, like, running out to the cop, seeing where my brother stood, where I stood on the cop, always looking at it, listening for any new sort of songs or whatever, any new sayings. And it was always part of looking and watching what it was like, certainly prior to kickoff, that 5 minutes before kickoff, when the two teams come out, they warmed up. I remember sitting on the bench and I was looking at Stelepping's Lane, and I was looking at it, and there was the seats behind it, but it was three segments. I can remember looking at the centre segment, which was just it was a bursting point. It was so different to the other two sides. And I said to Rushy, I'd nudged him and I said, "Have you seen that?" I said, "Just look at that middle section there." I said, "It was chock-a-block, isn't it? Doesn't seem funny." At that time, somebody was trying to get over the top of the fence, climbing up to try and get out. And I remember a policeman leaning up and going like that, is "Get back in." And that'll always stick with me. But I kept, from when the game kicked off, those 6 minutes, I was just, my eyes were the pitch, looking at that end, and I could see, and you felt as though something was bubbling, what was happening. You know, like something, boiling water or something, it's getting, and it's just going to sort of spill over the pan. And that's what it was. And it was extremely difficult to take your eyes off what was going on off the field rather than on the field.
I mean, the reception I got going out was just unbelievable. And then the game started, and the first time I touched it, the reception they gave me was just frightening. And I was touched. And then, of course, the next thing I knew, they get a corner. Forrest got a corner on the right-hand side, and I'm at the back post, and these two guys come on the pitch, and I thought it was a pitch invasion. And I'll tell you what one of the guys said to me. He says, "There are people dying in there." And I said, "Get off, you're not doing yourself any favours, you're doing the club no favour." He says, "Al, there's people dying in there."
So the game starts, and there was a couple of times the ball went over the back, and I saw people against the fence, squashed, and, "Oh, Bruce, can you help us?" And I said to the stewards, "What's going on?" I think I got the ball back, kicked the ball, and noticed that there was no action between in the other sides of the pen. And the ball went over again, and they were actually pushed against the fence. And, you know, there must have been the surge. And there I noticed people going from the back and getting dragged up.
You know, because even when the game was actually going on, even when the game was actually started, as a player, you're out there running around, you don't have time to look and see. But I remember them having a corner, being down there once, and I thought, this looks very uncomfortable, because I think some people had already come over, not onto the pitch, but just behind the goal, and I thought, well, this is a bit strange.
We didn't realise, till obviously the ball went out of play, and Bruce was making a bit of a commotion or something going on, and we looked at the far end, and then initially thought a barrier had collapsed or something. I thought, oh, there could be problems there, you know, hope everything's all right.
I was trying to retrieve the ball, and I walked around to the side of the gate, and I asked the policewoman to please open the gate. Can't you see that they're in trouble? And, you know, open the gate to let them out. And she said, there's nothing I can do.
And the game, it was very... Like, the game the first year was pretty, you know, slow to start. We'll have a little look at them and they'll have a look at us. But Forrest, for some reason, came out and went at us. And the first 6 minutes or so was back to front. You know, it was, they had the shot, we had the shot. It was quite manic, to be fair. And I think Peter Beardsley at the bar.
Beardsley hits the crossbar. A minute later, a referee comes to me and says, Ronnie, get your players off. There's something happening behind the goal.
A policeman on the pitch urging the referee to stop the match. The crowd is behind the goal. And Liverpool supporters on the pitch because of the crush in that end of the ground.
Ray Lewis, match referee at Hillsborough. We didn't really know the severity of it at the time. You know, the game had been sort of 6 minutes in. There'd been a lot of sort of confusion at one end behind a goal. And all of a sudden I had a sort of tap on the shoulder from a police inspector on the pitch sort of saying, we've got some problems, can you get the players off?
I was sort of mid-pitch around the centre circle and he must have spotted something because he just come straight over to me and he said, Ronnie, take your players off the pitch, get them off. What's going on? We thought it was trouble fighting, something had happened because there was people trying at that time to get over the barriers. So it was like, get the players off in case anything happens.
You couldn't take your eyes off it because you knew it wasn't quite right. Looking at the two sides of the way they were and people standing in relative comfort, is that this one here, it was just absolutely packed. And I can remember seeing in the next day and the following days people with their faces absolutely squashed against the fence. Those people, there was no way out.
We knew people were on the pitch, and when people come on the pitch, they take the players off. This happened hundreds of times. So that's what we thought it was. You know, clear the people off the pitch, put them back in the stand, whatever. We didn't know what the incident was. So, as I said, it's not until after maybe 20 minutes we thought, well, this must be a bit more serious, because obviously we're not now going back on to play.
And, of course, you go back in the dressing room, and after 10 minutes, the referee comes and says, well, there's a little bit of hold-up, blah, blah, blah. And then I can't remember who it was coming to the restroom saying there's big trouble. We think there's people actually dying. And again, back to the Heysel thing, I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm really, again, probably because I'm so hyped up, it has not hit me at all.
You know, you think, you know, people exaggerate at times, you know, hopefully that's not the case, you know. There could be people hurt and there's ambulance, but no. Who's going to be dead? You know, in a semi-final, who's going to die? This is a football match. You know, you think, no chance. You know, that's, you know, someone's really passed out or whatever. And then the enormity of it all, yeah.
You knew something bad was unfolding before your eyes. We got taken off, not knowing exactly what was going on and what had happened. You knew it needed a little bit of a break in the play. We go straight into the players, the staff. We go into the dressing room. So we're sitting round and it was a difficult time.
You're in there and you're going, what's gone on? Well, why are we getting taken off? And things start to filter through then, you know, people sort of running past dressing rooms and shouting, there's people dying there and you can't go back on, you can't play. Supporters. And that was when the door was open at one stage, but they closed the door again.
I think at that moment, the furthest thing from our mind was probably that anybody had died. You wouldn't if even this is a football match. People are just going to watch the team. You know, it's not going to be anything like that. So that didn't enter anybody's mind. The thing was is to keep the players, trying to keep them stretched off and everything. Because at that particular time, the players are thinking there's going to be a 10-minute break here. They're going to get the people off the pitch. And then we're going to continue.
20 minutes later, when you can hear... Things were really amiss. You know, there's all sorts going on. People running about screaming and shouting. And no one got the dressing room. And Kenny went out. I think he just to assess what was... Because something was a little bit amiss here, you know what I mean? And then I heard a fella saying to him, there's people dead out there. And you know, Kenny come in and his face was ashen.
Kenny at times was out of the dressing room. And he was seeing a bit more than we were seeing. And then you could see it on his face, really, couldn't you? There's pictures on television, but when he come back in the dressing room, he was quiet. He didn't say, there's loads of people dying or whatever. You could see his face wasn't like it was a bit. He was worried.
Kenny just said to me, go out, Tomo, go and see what you can find out. So I came outside the dressing room door and just to try and paint a little picture where the dressing room is, the home team dressing room that we were in. You just come out of it and there's a hallway like in front of you where the two teams, if you want, when they congregate to going out, that's where they congregate before going out, a very, very tight tunnel. So this area, when I came out, there was people sitting there, sitting down on the floor, exhausted. And they had nothing to do with the football. Nobody was telling them to move. Absolutely, just exhausted, disorientated about everything what was going on. So I just slipped down onto the pitch and I could see all this commotion going on. Even at that time, I didn't know that anybody had died. Seeing what I did, which was people all sort of on the side of the pitch and everything, I must admit, I was nervous and I was not panicking. I thought I'll just have to go and sort of report. And by the time I got back in, it was they said the game's off.
We knew people had died, you know, but when we'd gone in and we'd showered and we'd bathed. And we went upstairs where the wives were and we sat down and coffee and tea was on there. And then, you know, it started to unfold in front of our eyes where, you know, it was just a picture. The cameras were on the pitch, you know, and John Motson was doing commentary on what was happening. We now hear that 30 people have died. And it was creeping up, minute by minute, it was creeping up. And we were upstairs, you couldn't do that. It was just horrendous. It was unbelievable. It still is when you think about it.
We hadn't seen what had gone on. We were closeted away from everything that went on. The first thing we seen was when we went to the players' lounge to meet girlfriends and wives after it. And most of them were in tears. And it was those pictures coming on the screen in the players' lounge. And that was the first that we had seen of anything that had gone on. That was when I realised there's something major. Major has happened. And then you see the pictures with the advertising boards and people on them and people giving kiss of lives to people. And that was the first time it hit me.
It was starting to come through. There'd been deaths. And it was absolute shock. And it started to just build the amount. And you can imagine being in there. You're only getting sort of, if you want, rumour and counter-rumour and what have you. But it was... people had died.
When we went to the lounge, that's when it all really opened, you know. Your emotions run away with you, and, you know, the women were crying. We were crying ourselves. You know, Liverpool fans, you know, any fans, you know, football fans, it's sad. When it's your own, you know, it hits home even more so, doesn't it? And you know, we knew people in the crowd as well, you know, which is, so you fear for them as well, you know, people who'd gone the game. My dad was on top at the Leopards Lane end, near the front, and whenever everyone had dispersed and gone, he said, the sight he's seen, he'll never ever forget, when you could see people just lying on the stones, paving stones, all around. It was said it was like a disaster film.
We were all told as soon as they can, they'll get the buses round to the front of the main entrance, the players' entrance and everything out, and we'll try and get off as soon as we can. There was no organised thing. There was no, well, the team get on there, and everybody just squeezed onto whatever buses were available. As soon as they arrived, everybody got on.
I couldn't even tell you the number by the time we'd left the ground, you know, but it was a very high number. Got on the coach and you couldn't hear a pin drop on the coach here, and you'd ride the way back into Liverpool, you know. We all sat by our wives just looking out the windows and wondering what was it all about.
When we started to travel back, listening to all the news bulletins, it was going up all the time. For every bulletin, the number of people. And I sat in the well at the front of the bus, and it was like, it was a blur. You were wondering, is this a dream? Is this a nightmare? Is this... Because you were thinking, how's this happened? How so many people? Because the bulletins, it was going up in sort of fives, if you want, of the amount of people, and you were absolutely shocked. You couldn't believe it. And we got all that way back home and everything, and it was sad. You were wondering how, why did this happen to have to happen to our football club. Mind that we'd been through Heysel and the traumas that came with that. Now this had happened on our own. And you were just, and everybody was shocked all the way back. I don't think anybody spoke it more than a whisper.
The 96 on City Talk 105.9.